You're listening to the Hijab Forum podcast, a podcast that inspires creatives to make meaningful content to pursue their passions. My name is Manira, and I am the creator of the Hijab Forum, and I sit down with entrepreneurs and everyday people to talk about their processes, the lessons they've learned, and how to make an impact. So grab your favorite jersey hijab, underpiece that most likely will slip off anyway, and get ready to amplify your life. Welcome back to the Hijab Forum podcast. I'm your host, Manira, and today with me, I have Fatima, who is a blogger, has her own website, who's just an amazing person overall. I found her on Instagram and I said to myself, I need to get her on this show because she sounds just like me, just in the States. So I don't want to ramble on too much about who she is. I want to let her kind of do her thing and let us know who she is and what she's all about. So Fatima, you can take it away.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I am the writer and creator behind Modestly Speaking, which is my modest fashion blog, which I started about 2 years ago. I have always loved fashion, and I just, at this point in life, I just wasn't sure how to kind of get back into it. And so the easiest way I found or thought was a blog. And so I have this blog, and then I also have, an Instagram and a Facebook. And so kind of throughout the week, I share my various takes on modest fashion for various events and life events and whatnot, and share it on my blog and on social media and Instagram.
Awesome. So like I said, like when I found her on Instagram, I said to myself, no, this person is a great writer. First of all, you guys check out her website. It's modestlyspeaking.com. It's got a great section for it. She even reviews modest fashion brands. So it gives you a sneak peek on what she wore from that brand and how it looked on her and what she thought of it, like the pros and cons, which is great. And she does do random things like going to rodeos because she's from Texas, y'all. So all my American Southerners who can resonate and kind of relate to going to events where we think we don't fit in, but we actually kind of do because we are from that place. So that's what I found to be very interesting about her. And I loved her style. I loved her calmness, her soothing like captions. Honestly, it sounds a little creepy, Fatima. I will have been creepy for a little bit. I love the fact that you are open about being a mother of three. Most people don't talk about their kids. So that's great to know that you are willing to share that piece of you to show that it is a part of you without having to ignore it. And you are an honest blogger, which I think is amazing because people don't realize that is a full-time job on the side. I'm gonna let you do that talking about that because we did talk about this just before we recorded and I wanted her to share a little bit more about how she went about doing this and how she balances that with her family life. You can go right ahead, Fatima.
Yeah. So, I work best on a schedule. And so I kind of treat this, well, I finally treated it this like this is my job. So I do have another full-time job, which is being a mom to three kids. And I wholeheartedly put my heart into that job. So as soon as the kids wake up from like 6:15 until like 8:10, I am 100% mom. And, you know, getting their lunches ready, getting them, you know, dropping them off to school, sending them with their I love yous. But then when I come back, you know, I throw myself into my work. Mm-hmm. And so working from home is a challenge as a mom because, you know, there are the breakfast dishes that are there. There's mm-hmm. like a huge load of laundry that might need to be thrown in. There's a lot of stuff that can be done, but I have realized that that stuff is always going to be there. There's always going to be a dish to be washed. There's always going to be some laundry to be washed. And it's going to get done. Like I'm going to do it, or thankfully my husband is very helpful, will do it, but it will get done. But then this passion of mine, this passion project, this blog, like it won't get done, you know, and then the kids are going to come home and then, you know, something else happens and then I don't get to it. So I just have created this mental block from, you know, 8 to 3, I'm working. And so mm-hmm. even like phone calls, unless it's something very important, I'm not really, you know, on the phone as much. So I really think, in order for me to create the content that I want to put out there and then also utilizing various platforms to kind of support my blog, like Pinterest or Instagram or you know, connecting with brands or whatnot, like I have to really set that schedule for myself. And it's hard because you're like, hey, do you want to go to lunch? Or hey, you want to do this? And like, obviously, relationships are very important, but I've kind of learned this thing now where I have to really weigh each decision. Like if I do choose to go to lunch with a friend, then I'm choosing not to work for that hour or two or whatever it is. So I think by kind of attaching value to that time, I think I'm more mindful of the choices I make when it comes to my blog work.
That was awesome. Like, honestly, I completely understand what you're saying. Like the fact that you know that this is something you're passionate about and every hour counts, the way you said that when people ask you to go out for lunch or what have you, that hour is an hour of your work time, like your blog time, your passion time. You will not get that hour back. Every minute lost is a minute lost, right? You can't earn time ever. So yeah, by you having to sacrifice relationships, put a time limit on certain things so that you can focus and get things done, is what everybody's, I think, striving to work against, towards. You don't want to be in a position where you say, I wish, or I could have, or resentment or what have you. And like you said, like the dishes will always be there. The mess will be there today, tomorrow. It depends on how you want to handle it. So do you do the dishes once a day? Like how, you know, you figure out a schedule, all because you want to make sure that you get your stuff done. You get your blog taken care of. That's your priority. And actually there's something I read recently. I don't know if you know about Tim Ferriss. He's the guy who wrote,
oh my gosh, I was just was it the interview with Brené Brown? Is that the one you're talking about?
No, the 4-Hour Work Week.
Oh, okay. So that's his book, but I just listened to he has a podcast as well. And I was, a friend told me about his interview with Brené Brown and I just listened to that and like, oh my gosh, it was like, it's a lot to absorb. And I feel like I have to go back and like, listen to it. But I think when you're like in your, I don't know, like when you're like your late 30s and like, alhamdulillah, I've had a lot of life experiences. And so good, bad, you know, just all across the spectrum.
Yeah.
But just think that, you know, going back to this, like, you know, your time is very valuable. Like the thing with this blog is like, nobody else is doing it right now. I don't have a team. It's just me. So if I don't do it, it doesn't get done. And so that's the sacrifice I'm willing to make. Like, alhamdulillah, I have good relationships with like my family. I have great relationships with my friends. So I'm at this phase in life where I'm comfortable in those relationships. So I don't have to like invest the excessive amount of time to develop those relationships because all the people are there. So that's why, you know, those lunches or this or that, like I'm not so like, oh yes, I must go, because I'm like, you know, at this point in life, this is like the one thing I felt like, so I've been a stay-at-home mom for like 11 years, which is like in my head, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like such a long time. I felt like I was working like yesterday. The one piece of me that I feel has been missing, and I'm ready to get that piece of me back. And so I understand that that takes sacrifice of certain things. I'm willing to make that in order to get that part of me back.
No, absolutely. Like I completely resonate with you. I couldn't even do it. Like in Canada, we have, when you give birth, you have a year of maternity leave. Actually now they extend it to 18 months, but I opted in for the 1 year mat leave, and that 1 year killed me. I could not stay home. I was always so used to working that it drove me nuts. And that's when I actually started working harder on the blog, and I worked on the podcast. Like I was recording on that during my downtime and stuff like that. Even though I didn't launch back then, I always knew that this was my passion and my dream. So I completely understand where you don't want to sacrifice like certain things, but you realize the people who understand will care enough to know that saying no doesn't hurt the relationship. It just means not right now. And by you picking yourself first doesn't make you selfish. It just means like, this is my me time. This is what I do for my self-care. And this is what I do to kind of move forward in mentally and make yourself not go crazy at home. Yeah. Don't feel bad for that. You don't have to apologize. You know what I mean? And the people who care will understand and not make you feel guilty. And that's when, you know, you start to grow better. Like you said, your husband will take care of some of the things for you. You have like friends who want to go out with you. So you know that you're still respected and want to be around. You just have to be the one to say no, because they're asking you something. They're not forcing you to go. Right. So when it's a question, it's more like, it's not a demand. And when you say no, it's not selfishness. It's not right now, maybe next time. And then you can do it when you have time.
Totally. So,
yeah, I completely get it. don't feel bad about that. So my other question is this, and I know you answered this for me, but I want everyone to hear about this as well. So you are a blogger. I know that SEO and all this content marketing and all this stuff that they try to explain to people who want to get into blogging is a little hard for people who don't have it come to them organically or freely. So my question to you is, how do you gather your content and where do you get your inspiration from, like for what to write about? Because you can't write about something you don't care about, and or not well, at least, like you can't write a good article, but how do you get something that resonates with you, that speaks to you, that you know you want to speak more about and let the world know your thoughts about that topic?
So there are various inspirations I have for my content. Like obviously there's seasonal stuff going on, you know, like spring, or like you mentioned, I'm from Texas and we have a rodeo coming through. And so like, that's kind of like a timely sort of thing. Or like when Ramadan is coming, I have kind of Ramadan looks. But I also want to share with Muslim women, or just women who choose to dress modestly, that like there are clothes for us for like every occasion, every space. So like I've done like modest swimwear that, you know, like maybe like 15 years ago, I'm like, oh my God, I want to be caught dead in something like this. Whereas now I'm like, hey man, I'm taking my three kids to the beach and I'm going to get in the water with them. Like, what am I going to wear? Or I want to go, you know, I want to lose weight. And then so I'm eating well, but I need to go to the gym and I need stuff to wear to the gym. Like, what is something modest? You know, like, I just want to be able to share with people, like just everyday sort of stuff that's very reasonably priced and like, hey, I actually want to wear this for all environments that we can see ourselves in, you know, like Valentine's Day, which has passed, like if you're volunteering in your kid's classroom or you go out on a date night with like your husband, like, you know, we as Muslims don't talk about like date night with your husband, but like a lot of us do it, right? And a lot of us want to look nice for that date. So I think there's nothing wrong with putting that out there and saying like, hey, we do this. If you don't, maybe you should. And so I think just kind of putting out there the fashion, but also for people who aren't Muslim, it kind of gives them an insight into who I am, and hopefully I'm a good representation of Muslim people, just kind of generally, you know, like if people are kind of curious or kind of wondering, like I try to put content out there that people are able to digest, kind of like little snippets there just to kind of give people an idea.
Yeah. And I love that. I like the fact that you're not forcing the conversation, you're not forcing the topics. These are all things that you literally face every single day in your personal life. So it's not like you're fishing for content on YouTube to talk about. You know that this is something that resonates with you, like your kids' events, like you said, or like the rodeo. It's stuff that you physically have experienced or want to experience or will be experiencing. So you have that personal connection with it, which makes the blog post more unique and the website more unique. And it's more organic and it's more natural flowing. And that's what I love. Like, same thing I would do with my posts, same thing. Like when I was a stay-at-home mom, I wrote a post about like five ways to make sure you keep your prayers on time with a newborn. And I was having a hard time keeping my prayers on point. So what I did was I literally brainstormed, because it was affecting me personally. And I'm like, if I'm dealing with this, I'm sure there's other moms out there who who have the same problem, but don't have the same resources that I might share with them. So by figuring out a plan or figuring out a way to make sure my prayers are on time, I literally, when that post went live, Fatima, everybody was like, oh my God, how did you even come up with these ideas? Or thank you for writing this. Or I got a lot of DMs about it, which was shocking because I didn't think it was that serious, but it really affected me to the point where I had to say something. And instead of forcing the content, it just came and I wrote it and it was up there. And so it's same thing like with you. If you feel like it's something you can understand and you can write into words and form like a proper understandable sentence, then by all means, right? You just write it out, because that's when the best content comes out, when it's just free flowing. So amazing. I love that. So I also want to talk to you about the fact that, you know, you said you want to be of service to Muslim women who dress modestly, and living in the Western world, we know that that's a little hard lately, especially on Instagram. We see pieces of clothing where we're like, is that even like considered modest fashion? And then you see people who are wearing hijab wearing it, or women who are not wearing hijab wearing modest fashion. So how do you fit into the equation, where how do you bring more like a service to them? Like you said, how does that connect with you personally?
So modest fashion, it's tricky, I think. So I always put out there like, hey, this is my take on modesty. This is my interpretation. To some of you, this may not be modest enough. To some of you, you're like, oh my gosh, like you look like a nun. You know, like I think that's the issue. So I think immediately, like I just had to be like, this is my modesty. And, you know, when I think about it, like, is Allah pleased with me in the way that I'm dressing? And that's kind mm-hmm. of how I put it out there.
I love that.
And so I think, in terms of putting modest fashion, I think what I'm looking for is to put out there is realistic modest fashion. And so I'm just going to tell you about kind of what I see out there, and why I kind of even started this is like, I didn't see myself out there. You know, like a lot of modest fashion is like dresses or like blazers and like just not a style that I could actually wear in my casual stay at home mom kind of life, you know?
Yes.
So a lot of the other stuff is like, you know, like the whatever jeans and the crop tops and like, well, that's not me either. So one is just putting out like a style that is kind of, I guess, appealing to a wider audience. So people, you know, they might not like the whole outfit, but like, yeah, I could wear those jeans, or oh, I could wear that top. Just kind of something that is realistic. I mean, sometimes I'm not gonna lie, like I do something for the gram and I'd like I'd wear something. I'm like, well, that's I'm never gonna wear that ever again. And I did that my first year because I didn't know what I was doing, you know, because
yeah,
I was let me do it too. But now I'm like, you know what? No, I'm just gonna put out there what I'm gonna wear. And then so part of it is yes, I started doing this and I'm making a greater commitment to doing this, is there are some really great modest fashion brands out there and people just don't know about them. So I'm kind of really digging in and looking for those modest fashion brands. And a lot of them are Muslim owned brands, but some of them, like I bought a dress from an Orthodox Jewish woman's brand. Yeah. There's some like Christian, you know, Orthodox, what are they? I think apostolic Christian women who have like clothing lines. So I really want to see what's out there
in
the modest fashion world in America and then kind of put that on my blog. But at the same time, you know, like it is kind of hard to like search through like the hundreds of like mainstream brands to find modest fashion there. So I do go through like kind of like the J. Crews and the Nordstrom and, you know, Ann Taylor or whatnot, and find the modest pieces there and then present that to my audience as well. So I just want people to know that like, hey, modest fashion is totally possible. Like for whatever budget you may have or whatever style you may have, like it's out there. So hopefully in the way that I'm presenting it, people find it appealing and, you know, are shy to kind of try out those sorts of styles.
Absolutely. And I think that's what is missing, because everyone's so used to, like everyone's so scared, I should say, to try something different. And then if they buy it, they're too scared to put on the Instagram because they're afraid of what other people will think. And that's like the number one reason why a lot of people don't progress or don't change their mindset. They're too scared of what other people think. And trust me, when you're like in your 60s and 70s, you're not gonna remember what little Samira or little Sam, Sarah said back in like God knows what year when you were wearing so-and-so outfit. It doesn't matter, right? And
we're both in our 30s. I'm late in my 30s. And I don't know where my 30s are, but I feel like alhamdulillah, I've gotten to this phase. I'm like, I don't really care that much about what Sarah says or what Samira says. You know, like,
yes,
I'm cool. You know, like, I feel like alhamdulillah, I'm comfortable in my skin in that sense. Like I said, there are other areas where I'm not comfortable in my skin, but when it comes to like kind of like what I'm wearing and how I'm presenting myself in that way, I am totally fine. And there's kind of a freedom that comes with that. And I don't know if it's with age or what, but I'm glad I'm there, because you're right. Like it is kind of liberating to not have to worry about what other people think and putting it out there. And if someone doesn't like click like on my picture, I'm like, that's okay. I still kind of like that outfit. I'm going to wear it anyway.
You know what about exactly what it is. Like when you see it from your perspective, like, why do I care so much about what you think or what so-and-so thinks? What is that going to do for me when I go home and I look at my closet because I didn't wear it and I paid my money? No, I'm going to wear it and I'm going to love it and I'm going to flaunt it. And I also want to get back to that piece where you said that you tried out the Jewish outfits and the Christian made outfits. That's something that I've always thought about too, because technically their mandate is to also dress modestly. And it's not just because we're Muslim that it's solely for Islamic like dresses or like Islamic dressing. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of religions have a modest aspect to it. They practice modest fashion all the time. We just don't hear about it too often because they're not under the radar. They're not, you know, they're not being watched under a microscope the way Muslims are, unfortunately, around the world. So you don't see that. And when they do it, it's not considered to be degrade, like to put down on women. It's considered to be like, oh my God, she's so amazing. She's dressed modestly. She's covered up. Right. And when you look at the corporate world, technically the blazers and the clothing, the dress pants, I don't know what they wear, but they are dressed modestly. If you think about it, because they're covered, if that's what you want to call it. Right. So in saying all that, when people look for modest fashion, that's why when I was doing my pieces too, I was trying so hard to connect with other religions, because it's not just Muslims who are dressing modestly. And when you go to Macy's or when you go to like Walmart, even you'll find skirts, because it's not just made for Muslims. You know, it's probably a Jewish woman who needs to wear it or needs to find something, or a Christian woman or a nun that needs to wear like AKA the burqa. But you know what I mean? It's not solely meant for just Muslims. So that's some stigma that we kind of have to break, or I don't know if you want to call it a stigma, but something that we have to kind of distract, like get away from saying is the only way, the only religion who observes modest clothing.
Yeah.
And like for you, like you write about modestly speaking. So you have that, you know, that capacity to explore this, because it's literally like in your title, it's something that you want to go and explore. And I think that you would definitely touch people in different ways than I would, even with my podcast, because you have that capacity where you live in the States, you live with these people. You are probably more exposed to them, and you can be that voice to be, you know what, we're not all different. We have a lot of true values that are very similar. So we can coexist without having to hate each other or to attack the way we dress, because I can probably help you find something you could wear with that, you know, Tamara, or I can help you, you know, like whoever. So I honestly love that. And I love that about your page and the way you present yourself and the way you even write is very unique. And the backlash, whatever, like we're always going to get that no matter who you are. You could be a freaking nun or like an imam and you could still get bashed. So don't, I feel like that's something that we have to stay away from and thinking that it's going to matter what so-and-so is going to say about your outfit or your post or your caption, because guess what? It's not a reflection of who you are. It's a reflection of they are who they are.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's such a good thing to remind ourselves more often than we do.
Yeah. Sorry for my rant, but like, it's something that I've always wanted to explore, and I'm so happy that you have explored that. So I'm very like interested in hearing more about that. And when you do post more, definitely please DM me about that. And I probably will repost it on my blog so people can read it too. Cause it's very important to know and to not isolate ourselves from the world, because we have to coexist. It's not our world, right? It's not anybody's world really. It's just, we're meant to live here and we're meant to die here. So let's just make the most of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I know we got off topic, but so when you say you're a stay at home mom of three, how do you get your me time? I know you said your blogging is your me time and your passion from like 8 to 3, but let's say there's a day where your husband or you have a babysitter for like 4 hours. What do you consider like, this is my jam? This is what I'm going to do for this time. No one's going to talk to me. Like, how do you have your time to like unload and unleash all like the, like get adult conversation? I don't know what it is for you, what it would look like, but you know, for other stay-at-home moms who are hearing this right now, who want to get like, who want to be able to step away from their regular life at home, their regular like 24/7 job as a stay-at-home mom, what do you do? And maybe you can give some ideas to our listeners so that they don't feel like they're the only ones going through it.
Sure. So I kind of misspoke when I said I worked from 8 to 3. I 9:30 to 3, because I think exercise is one of the greatest ways to kind of care for yourself. And so I've gone through various phases in like my vigorousness of my exercise. Like, I want to say like late 20s, early 30s, I did those crazy like HIIT workouts and, you know, I was like really, really into like lifting weights and stuff. And then I played basketball with some friends. We even had a team called Brown Sugar.
Oh, okay.
The name of the suburb where I live is Sugarland, and it was a bunch of brown girls playing.
That's where Sugarland comes from. You know, every time I saw her post, you guys, Sugarland, I'm like, she lives in a dream world, and I'm gonna let her run with it. No shade. I really was like, okay, maybe she just like is just saying it's called Sugarland to not say where she.
Yeah, I remember when I was growing up in Indiana, some girl had moved from Sugarland. Like, the heck kind of name is that? That's so lame. And now I live in Sugarland. But it's because there was a sugar factory here. So anyhow, I played basketball, but then I kind of hurt my wrist playing. And so since then I've done, like, I've always tried to stay active though, like whether it's Pilates or doing water aerobics in our pool or yoga or something. I think that exercise is just a great way to care for yourself. Like, our bodies are ours and we need to take care of them. Yeah. I just, for example, like my daughter had like a really bad stomach bug and I was in the house with her for like 48 hours and I was just like, oh my God. And I like texted my husband, like, I need a break. And so like, what are you going to do? And I was like, I'm just going to go for a walk. And subhanAllah, it was like amazing. Like, I went out and like just the fresh air, like a breath of fresh air, and then just, I don't know, like what is blossoming around here. I don't know if it's like orange blossoms or jasmine or something, but you could just like kind of smell these like amazing flowers as you're walking through, and just like this tension that I had just kind of like melted away. So nice. Exercise is a great thing. Let's see what else. I mean, I'm like everybody else. Do you like
the generic like spa days, nails, or is that like something you don't really dabble into?
I should more than I do. So I think in my late 30s, I feel like that I don't do because I feel like I'm very kind of conscious of where we're spending our money because I'm only with family of five, right? So I'm like, I only get my nails done if I like am going to an event or I really do need a facial because I'm like breaking out. Like, again, it's like that time. It's like, do I want to spend that hour with that facial or if I want to do something else? And so I think I'm just in this phase of like caring for myself is like working on my thing here. But I mean, there's nothing like meeting up with some good friends. We have, I have like a group of friends and every Tuesday night, we get together for tea at a friend's house after all the kids go to sleep. And just as I've gotten older, like, again, I love my husband very much and I have brothers and there are men in my life, but it's really the women in my life that I find just kind of feed my soul. So, you know, getting together and just chatting about just kind of what is in your heart is also such a release. So like talking about, hey, this is how I'm feeling about me and like my value, and this is the person, and another one's like, you know, let me talk to you about like the patriarchy and misogyny at my work. And then of course it comes to like our children, like, oh my gosh, how are we raising our kids, what are we going to do? And just that shared sense of community with other women who are going through what you're going through is like nothing else, you know. So I feel like if there's any sort of self-care, that is it. I actually went on a road trip with a couple of friends to see Oprah in Dallas.
What? Okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Did you guys get in or did you have tickets?
Yeah. Well, no, we bought tickets ahead of time. And I remember before I was kind of like, I don't know, but I think, you know, it's just like great reminders of like who we are, what we're supposed to do, and like just kind of valuing yourself and all that sort of stuff. So I think those are things that like is my care right now is just like, how am I feeding my soul?
No, and that's very important. Like, honestly, even like the walk itself is so freeing of your mind where you like smell the flowers, you feel the pavement, like you, well, not the pavement, but like you feel, you hear the pavement, your steps on the pavement. Sorry. You feel like the wind in your face. Like, it's just the small reminders of like, you are your own person, you know, your family's your family, but when you need your time, you need to have your time. Your kids are in school. Like, think about it. They have their self-care. They have their time away from home. they go to school, they have you to take care of them. Your husband has probably work, like you, he gets out of the house more often than you would. So for you to have your whole life surrounded around the home, you need to get out of the home. Sometimes even staying in the home and doing something different in a separate room is something that I've even learned for myself, where when I record my podcast, I used to do it in my bedroom. And then I'm like, no, I don't want to take away from the fact that my bedroom is my safe zone where I sleep and where I like, you know, relax. I don't want to relate it to work, or I don't want to relate it to like anxiety of like getting the recording done on time. Or, so no, absolutely. Like just getting away and having a mental shift from time to time is so mentally freeing. And even like getting into yoga at home, or like having a separate space, maybe in your backyard. I don't know if you live in a house or whatever that looks like for you. So I definitely think that those are all great and free things to do. So people don't have to break the bank. Like you said, like you don't want to spend money on a facial, but you know, would that be an hour of your time doing something that you love? And the fact that that's what you resonated back to, doing what you love as being your blogging, maybe that's what you consider your free time, and it's technically your work too. So there is that like meshing there.
Yeah.
So no, that's amazing. I honestly, like, I feel like you are like my counterpart in the States. It's kind of crazy. And I'm so happy that I found your page, because it, like the minute I saw it, I'm like, oh my God, she's so
normal.
Like she's so relatable. Like I thought I was the crazy one at home, like, you know, losing my mind when I was on mat leave, and I'm like, no, you need to get out of the house. And when I finally got a job, I'm like, oh my God, I miss being at home. So, you know,
that's the struggle of being a mom,
And the mom guilt, gosh, don't get me into the mom guilt, but it's just so amazing to know that other people like us do exist, and we have to be able to reach out to them without having the fear of, like, you know, feeling like what if, because the what ifs will never get you anywhere. And I think even with you having your website, which by the way, she did by herself, she wants to say that she didn't, but she did. It's a really nice website, guys. Check it out. She, like, the way you even write is very like honest and genuine. And that's where the people need to, like, people end up going to. They don't want to read a review that makes no sense, where it's all like, buy this now or buy this because I'm wearing it. You have to be one with the pieces you're wearing. You have to be one with the words you're saying. So by having that personal connection like you do, it's very important for a voice like yours to be heard around the world. And that's why I honestly like had to message you. I'm like, she probably will say no, but you know, whatever, I'll try. Oh my gosh, no.
I think I'm always so inspired by women doing what they're good at and what they're passionate about, you know, like,
love that. And I love think that.
I'm so glad that we're in this phase in society that people are able to do that, you know, like, I went to this event the other day, and there's this woman who was like an interior designer, and she was like, you know, I just want to show people how to throw great parties. And so she has this business where she teaches you how to make like a beautiful tablescape and make like mocktails. And I was like, you know, girl, you do you, you know, like if that's what brings you passion and you're able to share that with people, then that's amazing. You know? So I think that's what I love about, I mean, there's stuff to not love, but what I do love about this kind of phase, especially women, where, you know, the technology that's available to us now, like we're really able to kind of pursue our passions. And, you know, like, again, I've had kind of like a very bumpy, convoluted, twisted, like life path.
But you know, like, who hasn't, right? Yeah. But yeah, no, I feel you. Yeah, go on. Sorry.
But I, like, that's like God's plan for me. You know, I truly believe that like Allah has a plan for all of us. And like, sometimes I have to just kind of let go of my type A controlling personality, trying to like direct it, and just kind of be like, you know what, I'll leave it in your hands, and whatever you think is best for me, like that is what I will do. And sometimes I'm like, I really think that God wants me to have a fashion blog, you know, and it's like kind of weird that of all the things, but like, you know, I something always one another where I'm like, every now and then, I'm like, I need to get like a conventional, like typical job, but then something else will happen. The economy pushes me the other way. And so I kind of have to always remind myself that like, whatever my path is, like it's chosen for me by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like, it is I'm so grateful that like he is in control of my life, because ultimately he's the greatest of planners. And so this plan for me is infinitely better than what I choose for myself. So far, alhamdulillah, he's laid out like more than I could have ever imagined, opened so many more doors than I could have ever imagined with this fashion blog that I could have ever imagined. And I'm really grateful for it. And I just pray, inshallah, that like he continued to do that for me.
Ameen, guys. Make sure you say ameen when you hear this recording, because we need to bless our sister here. No, that's amazing, honestly. Like, and the fact that you just want to keep going is amazing too. And so that leads into my next question. Where do you see yourself going? So where do you see yourself in the next like 5-10 years? Do you want to grow this website to something that can be bigger than it is? Or do you want to kind of keep it like consistent and just kind of keep it as your side business, where it's more like a project for you instead of like an actual job?
So I don't know.
Good answer.
I was talking to a friend of mine. I'm like, I don't want to be 50 being a fashion blogger. She's like, I could totally see you being a 50-year-old fashion blogger. And I was like, okay, fair point. But so just really quick background of myself. So like I graduated with like a business degree, and I worked in like the buying office of like a major department store.
Nice.
And it was a very short thing, but I loved it. I love like the business of fashion. I love like the analytical piece of it. And I've always loved that. And so part of me is always like, in this blogging experience, in the short amount of time I've been here, I still think there's kind of just a gap in the availability of modest fashion for us in North America. I'm going to throw you in there, Canada.
Yes.
So I, given that I have this business background, like the wheels in my head are turning where I'm like, I would love to either have like my own modest retail company or a modest clothing line. And so, like I said, like whenever Allah believes it's time for me to do that, like I will do that. You know, there's just a lot of things I'm thinking about, and like things that I brought up more and more about, like, you know, the environmental and social impact of fast fashion, you know, how,
yes,
you know, so those things kind of weigh on me. And then just, you know, how these garment workers are abused, or for example, like how Uyghurs in China are being moved to various factories and manufacturing are wearing, you know, so those things kind of weigh on me. And so I'm like, if I'm going to do this, I want to do it right. So let me just think through how I can do this and then execute when I'm actually ready to do it. And so that's me. I mull things over. I make sure like everything's the way it needs to be and in place before I kind of like, you know, pull the trigger. So that is kind of my end goal. I would love to do something like that. And I think I have the ability to do that. And, you know, so I'm just kind of using this blogging experience to figure out kind of what resonates with readers, you know, what people are looking for and whatnot. Cause I think there's like this market in the middle that's being missed, you know, like I think there's like a huge glut of like really cheap stuff that we can buy. And then there's like the really expensive stuff that we can't buy. And then there's like the middle. So I'm all for the middle path for like everything, even when it comes to modest fashion.
No, I honestly, like, that's 100% where my mind would have went to if I was in your shoes. Like, especially the idea of fast fashion. Like, I don't know if you've seen the episode of Hasan Minhaj's Netflix series.
Yeah.
That was so heartbreaking for the workers. But at the same time, it was very shocking at how quickly people go through clothes and the way it's impacting the environment. And oh my God, like, it's crazy how people just do it for like a one photo shoot on Instagram and they got to throw it out because they can't wear it again because their friend saw it. So, and it's just like a mental roadblock. And then also the other factor of like, there's nothing to wear in the malls. So then we either have to go for high-end clothes, and the people who do sell it in the Islamic world overprice it because it's so hard for them to even get the materials or to get the stuff done customly, right? So it's like this huge gap that we're fighting against. And then people wonder why some people can't dress modestly as a Muslim or like can't afford to dress modestly. I've had friends in the past who, you know, switch to becoming a full-time like hijab and skirt wearer, but they ask you, where do you buy your skirts? And I say, I buy them like once a year in bulk, because when I find something at the mall, I buy like five of them, you know? And it's not even a joke, because you literally will never see it again, because if somebody else finds it the same way, like the same way you found it in your shoes, they're not going to just buy one. They're going to buy like five because they need it for the entire year. Right. So you're absolutely right. There's a huge gap that, alhamdulillah, I feel like now Instagram is kind of filling. But then again, it's expensive because they're so niched and they're so, you know, hard to and rare to come across. that when you find something gold, you're like, I don't want this to go anywhere. I'm going to save my money and buy like four or five of them. And they're overpriced. So you're buying like, I don't know how much money you need for each item. And then obviously you either have to wear like the most random things put together to, you know, find whatever you find, you put together, or you wear like stuff that's overpriced. Yeah. Or you just end up wearing stuff that's not even appropriate because you can't afford the stuff that is appropriate. So
yeah,
it's a whole thing. I know it's really a whole thing, but alhamdulillah, Allah is all merciful. And I know that he sees our intentions. So in saying that, you know, it's everybody's individualistic approach to how they see it best fit for them and what's appropriate for them.
Absolutely.
So I don't want to keep dragging this on, but I honestly loved talking to you. It was something that I was shocked at, like, even like I said, you have everything that I would want to do if I was in your shoes. And I feel like I have been down your road before, where you're the blogger and you're the stay-at-home mom, and I can't wait to go back to being that. So in saying that, is there anything else you want to add or share, or do you want to say something we probably didn't touch base on that you feel like is important for our listeners to hear?
I don't know. I just think if there are moms who are listening, who are just in like the thick of it and just are like, oh my gosh, I remember. So go back a little bit. So I have three kids. My eldest is 11. My middle is 7. My youngest is 6. So there was like,
mashallah.
Yeah. So however, when my eldest son was 4, 5, let's say he had just turned 5. Gosh, I don't remember. It was that long ago.
It's all blur after a while. You know, I get it.
I'll tell you what. So he was diagnosed with hearing loss.
Okay.
And so he wears hearing aids. And then my younger two are 13 months apart. Wow. And, you know, just some life events happened at the same time. And it was really tough. You know, life was just really, really tough. Mm-hmm. And I remember people would be like, just look for the light at the end of the tunnel. Like, there's no light. I don't see the light, you know?
And it's like the last thing you want to hear. Trust me. Yeah. I know. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, there was a long time where I wasn't doing this. And so I don't want anyone to assume like, oh, she's like this like super successful blogger. I had like a really dark phase in life. And I will say that like I really turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and like just made sincere dua that like help me get through this and help me to find my purpose. And I understand my purpose is to serve you, but like help me to find this profession in which I'm also serving you. And so for any mom who's listening to this, who's just like, oh my gosh, this mom life is so hard. Like it really is. But like, just remember like first and absolute, we serve as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but like put yourself up on the totem pole. Like I think we as moms like are just like, we must serve everyone else before we serve ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like we need to take care of ourselves. So I've bumped myself up a little on that totem pole. And I think that there's nothing wrong with that. So it's nothing to do with my fashion blog, but I just know that we as moms, I wish someone had kind of told me that a little earlier and really like made me believe that to be true. You know, like I had to kind of come to that conclusion on my own. And so if there is some mom who's kind of in that phase, like just know that like Allah wants you to take care of yourself, like, and yes, whatever that is, whether it's to explore this creative side of yourself or like, you know, that professional woman who is like a great accountant and just hasn't done it. Like I think moms are amazing and have the capacity to do a whole lot. And if that's what nourishes you, then you should do it. So
absolutely. No, and I love that. I love the messaging that you're releasing to the world. It's something that is so important and it's not often heard. You know, if people could just know the amount of work that goes into being a stay-at-home mom, for those who don't know, or those, if there's any men listening here, it's 24/7. You're on call. You're like a doctor that doesn't get paid. Like you do everything. You're the doctor, you're the nurse, you're the driver, you're the, you know, you're the cook, you're the house, like the house cleaner, you're everything without that title, without a paycheck associated with it. So in saying that, like, that's when burnout can happen. And I know it's very important to have self-care tips like in place for you, you know, and it's very important to even have a mentor. Like you said, you didn't know if somebody told you, you would have probably handled things differently, you know. And there's new moms every single day that are jumping into this life without realizing how much it can take from you if you're not prepared properly. And obviously 9 times out of 10, nobody prepares because they don't hear the tough side. They don't see the bad side. They just say, oh my God, you're a mom. You have a baby. You're so lucky. You're so blessed. And then it's goodbye. So for those, you know, that don't have the mentors or they don't have the people in their lives to hear about the dark side that can get dark and to avoid it, you know, take what Fatima just said right now and take it into like actual fact, because it is going to be okay. You know, you're going to have some dark times. Trust me, we've all been there for anybody, not even just moms, but there's always a way. And Allah only puts us through what we can handle. So if you have that mentality and you have your, you know, your faith-based understanding, it's going to be okay. I know it sucks hearing that, but it's always going to be okay.
Inshallah. Yes. Very true. And I of course would love to share my blog, which I think Munira had mentioned. It's modestlyspeaking.com. I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook and Pinterest, and that's all I can really manage right now. I do not I don't do TikTok.
Oh God.
I do a little song and dance. I'm sorry. Like I'm just too old. I can't do
Get
it.
Your kids to make an account. That'd be so interesting to see, like, they just do like the videos for you and they kind of tell you. I'm just joking, but kids are amazing, guys. Like, TikTok is their jam. They're killing it out there. But yeah, sorry, go on.
Oh yeah, so that's me, and I would love for you to kind of obviously follow along, but I know I've asked people, but I really do mean it. Like, I would love feedback. Like, I put out there what I think people want to see, but if you have something that is like, hey, like, what do Muslim women wear to galas that is not like ethnic clothing? Or what do we wear to the beach other than like a swimsuit? Like, you know, like, these are things that I think you might like, but like, I would love for you to tell me, like, hey, like, I would love if you could find what to wear for XYZ occasion. Like, that would help me out so much. Cause again, I just want to be of service to women trying to find modest fashion. So
yes,
I can only help you if you tell me what you want to see.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. I like that. And obviously, guys, like, honest feedback is always appreciated from in anybody's world. And for a blogger who puts a lot of work into their words, literally, it's always helpful to hear that it's being appreciated. Or if there's something constructive criticism that you can, you know, give to Fatima, please, you know, hit her up on her DMs or go on her blog and just kind of read it and message her back with your feedback. And if you want to hear more things that she has to say, or if you want different content expressed, then please reach out to her. I feel like that's something that us creatives always want to know what other people are thinking, because at the end of the day, we're releasing it to the world so other people can see it and hear it and share it, right? So yeah, no, this is amazing. Thank you so much for taking the time to sit with me, Fatima, and do this podcast. It's been very helpful, I think, for a lot of people and even for myself to hear that other moms out there are doing the same thing I thought was so unique and, you know, like, wasn't heard of. But without us connecting, we'll never know. And I love the fact that Instagram is that platform right now for me and you to even connect and continue this relationship. I hope that we can continue your relationship because you're so awesome. But yeah, no. So thanks, guys, for listening to the episode today. If you want to hear more, I will add Fatima's contact information to the show notes on this post. And I will also put on Instagram when it is released so you guys can check her out and tag her in her feed. All right, guys. Fatima, do you want to say any farewells beyond this?
Well, no, just goodbye and thank you so much for having me.
All right. Assalamu alaikum, everybody. Just because the episode is over doesn't mean you can't continue discussing the topic. We've created a forum that's easy to use right on our website. Also, if you sign up for our mailing list, you will have access to our monthly giveaways. The website is www.hijabforum.com. Once again, it's hijabforum.com. If you liked what you heard today, please rate and review our show on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you're listening. We'll see you next Monday on the next episode of the Hijab Forum podcast.